Wolfing Down Food Science.
Hey there, everyone.
You made it to the end of our sustainability season.
Way to go!
Before we begin the final episode of 2022, just a quick reminder that we'll have a few quick updates about the podcast and what's new on the menu for Wolfing Down Food Science in 2023.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Wolfing Down Food Science. We are so happy today to have with us Dr. Min-Leung Young. She is an incoming assistant professor of food science, so we are very excited to hear more about her story, especially since she'll be joining us very soon. So, Min-Leung, first, welcome to Wolfing Down Food Science, and we're just curious to hear a little bit about your career journey.
Thank you, Keith and Paige. I am Dr. Min-Leung Young, and I am assumed to be assistant professor in the Department of Food, Bioprocessing, and Nutritional Science at NC State starting next January. And so my future lab will focus on developing sustainability solutions of global food system. But right now, I am a postdoc working at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab and the sustainability team at Joint Bioenergy Institute, short as JBEI. And it is one of DOE's bioenergy research center. So you can tell from the name that what I do here every day is to explore various sustainability solutions related to bioenergy sector, more specifically to improve the economics of biorefineries and to produce biofuel and to produce lower carbon footprint renewable fuels. And prior to joining Berkeley Lab, I obtained both my master and PhD degree in agriculture and biosystem engineering at Iowa State University. And I received my bachelor's degree in grain engineering, which is a branch of food science back in China.
It sounds like your career path has been over lots and lots of different areas, and you're really focusing in at this point in your career on sustainability. So we'd love to hear more about your work in the areas of techno-economic and life cycle analysis. But first, could you help me understand what techno-economic and life cycle analysis are? I don't really know much about those terms.
Yeah, sure. So techno-economic analysis and life cycle assessment, those are those tools that can help us to quantify the sustainability analysis. So LCA, life cycle assessment, is a systematic tool that can help to assess the environmental burdens of a product throughout its lifetime. And starting from raw materials extraction and the intermediates production and then manufacturing process, and then it goes to product utilization and end-of-life treatment. So after performing mass and energy balance for the process, and then we can quantify its impact of the entire supply chain to the environment. So some of the impact categories we can include like global warming potential, ozone depletion, human health impact, acidification, eutrophication, etc. So that's for LCA. And for techno-economic analysis, which is short for TEA, it is a method of analyzing the economic performance of an industrial process, product, or a service. So TEA is not really in the field of environmental science, but I personally think it's quite important for decision makers when they're trying to promote an environmentally friendly product or a process, because as a nature of business, cost is like a main driver. So TEA is mainly used to evaluate the economic feasibility or to compare the economics of different technologies it can be with the same application. So in the typical TEA study, we first need to develop a detailed process model to perform the mass and energy balance, and then to calculate the total capital investment, annual operating cost, and to obtain the final minimum selling price for desired product. And in here, we apply a discount cash flow analysis.
Well, I have to say, this definitely makes me think back to our previous podcast with Jeremiah Johnson. We were talking about scooters, the electric scooters, and whether they were truly carbon neutral. And they literally bought a scooter, took it apart, and were trying to figure out all of the parts of that scooter's life span from when it was created all the way through the end of its life, and found that it appears that the vehicles which collect the scooters, which typically are burning gasoline, that's really the weak link in terms of making a carbon neutral electric scooter platform. So I think that's kind of cool that your work does works on those similar lines. So, you know, it's obvious that your work is not only taking into account economics, but you also look at environmental and social aspects of sustainability. So, you know, these seem like different things. How is it possible to examine all of these things, economics and environment and social aspects, all together in a single study?
Yeah, that's a good question. So when we are talking about the full picture of sustainability analysis, it involves economic sustainability, environmental sustainability, and social sustainability, also known as people, profit, and planet. So which means that for a sustainability, it not only means greener or affordable product, but also causing less harm or less loss to human beings. So for a sustainability analysis, like I introduced in LCA, we have different impact categories that can take into account of human health impact. So that's one way to consider for the human health impact. And in my study, we considered the monetary impact, social carbon cost, and the policy impact of the final product, and which is bioethanol in my study. So I can use one of my published study, biogas upgrading and carbon capture and sequestration as an example to help you better understand how biorefineries can do this integration of social, economic, and environmental studies. So some background, in this biogas upgrading and carbon capture and sequestration, short as CCS project, we use a cellulosic biorefinery as a model. So in a typical cellulosic biorefinery, biofuel is produced as a main product, and we have on-site wastewater treatment to produce biogas and then send to power generation to produce heat and power for the facility, and with the excess electricity generated, so to the grid as a revenue. So in this study, instead of using all biogas produced from wastewater treatment for power generation, we upgraded partial of that to produce renewable natural gas, and which can then be used to replace diesel fuel. And we also captured the unused carbon dioxide streams from fermenter and also from turbo generator for the sequestration. So in this way, we can mitigate carbon dioxide. So from the economics perspective, we quantified the minimum selling price of the biofuel using PEA when such biorefinery is equipped with biogas upgrading and CCS. And from environmental perspective, we applied LCA to calculate the carbon footprint of such integrated biorefinery. And then from social perspective, we incorporated both federal and state level renewable policy and then calculate the minimum selling price of biofuel and after incorporating such policy incentives. And we also further analysis the cost of carbon or the social cost of carbon if we incorporate biogas upgrading and CCS in such cellulosic biorefinery.
Was that study done for a new system, or was this already a system that was in place and you were just doing the analysis post-system creation?
So for the cellulosic biorefinery, we used to have some across the globe, but right now I don't think we have much left. So for cellulosic biorefinery, it is here. What we do is we designed the cellulosic biorefinery and we use bioenergy crops. And in our case, we use biomass organ as a representative bioenergy crops and see how it can be converted to bioethanol in this case.
Gotcha. So is it, I guess there's lots of systems in place that can be improved. So you're doing a lot of, you could also do retroactive analysis in this way and then improve the system. Is that true?
Yeah, there are many analysis can be done for this typical cellulosic biorefinery. And what we do is one of the approach that can, we're trying to see if it can help to improve the economics and also produce lower carbon footprint product.
That is really cool.
You know, we're kind of interested in this concept of carbon neutrality and circular economies. So these are really buzzwords that we hear about related to sustainability. But what do these terms really mean? And do you think it's actually possible to get to carbon neutrality, to get to circular economies?
Well, that's a really wonderful question. So carbon neutrality and circular economy is definitely the buzzword nowadays. And carbon neutrality is basically means that it's a balance of carbon emitted and carbon being absorbed from the atmosphere. So what you can do is to either reduce the carbon emission or capture more carbon from the atmosphere to help the balance. And some approaches you can do using renewable fuels to produce electricity, that's definitely one way, or you can improve energy efficiency. Or in our case, we can try to produce low carbon fuels or value-added bioproducts along with the low carbon fuels production. And to capture the carbon, you can apply direct air capture. Yeah, there are so many approaches that can be applied to achieve these goals. As for food industry and things we can do to lower the GHG emission, such as we can try to reduce food waste and food loss for sure. And or we can change to plant-based alternatives. That's one way to help mitigate GHG emissions. But for a specific food production process, we can apply LCA approach to identify the hotspot of the GHG emissions, and then we can find ways to reduce emissions and also waste from there. And for circular economy, so as I explained during life cycle assessment, and I mentioned the last stage, the last stage is end of life treatment. So most of the process right now is like a linear economy. So for end of life, what they're doing is to landfill. But for a circular economy, it's like we can use the end of life to do recycle, reuse, and instead of landfilling of the used product, we're trying to find ways to recycle and to reutilizing the product to make it back to the second manufacturing process. So circular economy basically is to keep the materials resources as long as possible, in service as long as possible.
For a circular economy, do you have any examples that come to mind in the food industry?
In the food industry, for the packaging, the food package, that's definitely one of the examples. And in addition to food industry, there are some clothes. You can see from the shops that's labeled as 100% made from 100% recycled material. So that's definitely another circular economy example.
Gotcha. I always like to have good examples of these things so I can put a picture to mind. So it sounds like, or it doesn't sound like, you will be moving from California to North Carolina to start work here at NC State. We're so excited to have you join us here at NC State in the Food Bioprocessing and Nutrition Department. So how does sustainability and the challenges therein, how are they different in California versus North Carolina?
I think the major challenge in California or North Carolina are not that different, because it's always we're trying to find ways to combat climate change and how to achieve carbon neutrality. But the different states using different approach depending on their geological locations and its natural resources. So for instance, in California is also an agriculture state that is pretty dry. So drought tolerance crops become a favorable choice. And in North Carolina, we have more woody biomass. So which means when we are trying, when we are producing low carbon fuels, woody biomass will be the major feedstocks that we will choose. And because of different feedstocks, drought tolerant bioenergy crops and woody biomass, they go through different pretreatment and fermentation process. So that's where the difference comes from.
Yeah, this is making me think back to Dr. Lisa Johnson's podcast, and we were talking about all of the biomass related to sweet potatoes that are left in the field. And of course, with the Perfect Day interview, just the idea that you can use some of these biomass products to ferment and potentially produce very useful products like whey protein. So I see a lot of tie-ins across different areas of sustainability to your work. But what we're really interested in hearing about is, what is the project that you are most looking forward to when you get to North Carolina? Of course, we hope it may be something to do with sweet potatoes, because we love sweet potatoes here in North Carolina. But what is it that you are looking most forward to working on when you get here?
Sweet potato is for sure one of my interest, and to see how we can, you know, do starch and produce value added products through sweet potato, and how we can do a full sustainability analysis, because we have so much sweet potato land in North Carolina. And another research projects I'm quite interested in is to further explore the plant-based alternative and how plant-based products can help to improve the sustainability of food system, and to what degree can plant-based alternatives like meat, milk, and this kind of thing, can they help? And this is a continuous work from my postdoc. And what I did during my postdoc is to investigate how implant accumulation of value-added bioproducts can help the economics of biorefineries. So I'm interested to see how this kind of approach can help food industry. And another project I'm quite interested in is to develop an integrated food sustainability tour to help researchers and scientists in this area to calculate carbon / water footprint themselves. For example, kids, you're working on coffee. So if we have this kind of flexible tour, then next time when you're trying a new approach, then you don't have to run LCA by me. You can just use this tour to calculate the carbon footprint yourself, and then you can compare with other approaches.
I am definitely looking forward to doing that, as I have my coffee right here with me. So sounds like a great idea. I'm just curious, if you don't mind, just a quick follow-up question. When I think about alternative protein sources, specifically related to plants, there's often many processing steps. So I'm kind of curious, you know, if you were to evaluate a new alternative protein source, could you walk us through how you might go about that techno-economic or life cycle analysis that you talked about before? How would you do that to sort of understand what the true carbon footprint of a new alternative protein might be?
Yeah, definitely. This can be done without collaborations with the teams working on alternative protein or alternative meat production. And with their experimental data and with their novel process, and then we can develop the detailed process in the commercial software. And then we can calculate mass energy balance from there and to quantify life cycle carbon footprint and also, or maybe water footprint in this case.
So it sounds like the software you use is pretty flexible. It can be adapted to many different products or many different industries, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah, currently there are two types of PEA software that can be used. One is called SuperPro Designer and the other is Aspen Plus. So both of them contains lots of unit process. So you can choose from their provided choice and then develop the process yourself.
I just have a feeling that this is going to really be something of interest to perhaps the food engineering course, just because it's getting to not only these unit operations, which engineers love to talk about, but also the energy and carbon use related to each of those unit operations. So so Dr. Salvi, if you're listening to the podcast, I think this is going to be really, really cool as a potential collaboration. So that sounds pretty interesting.
Dr. Salvi is the food engineering instructor, just to connect the dots there.
I'm looking forward to collaborate with Dr. Salvi as well.
It sounds really cool, though, that you can take just about any process and map it out in so many different ways with sustainability. Because sustainability, when we started this season for Wolfing Down Food Science, we said, what does sustainability really mean? It means lots of different things to lots of different people. And what is so cool in talking to you is that you're taking into account all of those different things, whether it's social, economic, carbon footprint, the entire life cycle of all the parts of the process, and really looking at it from a sustainability approach and how to do it most efficiently and most sustainably. I just think that is a really awesome way to look at sustainability. So I'm excited to see what you do here at NC State.
Thank you.
Well, Minyoung, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to interview with us here on Wolfing Down Food Science. We greatly appreciate it, and we really look forward to getting the opportunity to see you again and to start working with you in January of 2023. So we're really, really excited for your arrival. Thanks for sticking around, everyone.
Before we finish out this season of sustainability and our 2022 podcast year, we wanted to share a few things.
Thing one, we'd like to hear from you. Please provide a rating on iTunes and let us know what you would like to hear us discuss in future seasons. It really helps our podcast to get noticed when you rate us. You know, the whole reason for this podcast is really to put food science on the radar for everyone with an eye towards education. So if you're a teacher and you use this podcast in your classroom, let us know. One quick aside is that I've always wanted to do educational programming with PBS. My student Emilise and I got to do that with SciNC for a YouTube project called Chew On This. See our show notes for a link to those videos or search YouTube for SciNC.
Thing two, we're looking for sponsors in 2023. Why do we need sponsors, you may be asking yourself. Our goal is to support deserving students through scholarships. More details on that later. But for now, if you would like to support students by supporting Wolfing Down Food Science Podcast, please reach out to us at our email, wolfingdownfoodscience@gmail.com. We hope to hear from you.
Thing three, we have learned a lot this season. I'm not sure that I have a better definition of sustainability, but I am certainly confused at a much higher level.
Amen.
It was interesting to see how all of these sustainability interviews fit together, from preventing food loss in the field to creating the shelf-stable foods that prevent food waste on the consumer side, and thinking about all of the steps in between to create efficiencies along the way. So what I really liked about some of these solutions is we could implement them right now if we were able to prevent that food loss on the one side and the food waste on the other. We could make the food system much more efficient. On the other side, I really am excited about the new tech that's coming in that could make our food supply and food science much more sustainable.
I think we covered a lot of ground with sustainability, Keith, and it was very interesting to hear about the energy side of things and how developments there to use energy more efficiency, like the building buildings used as batteries, from techniques that are being used like drones in the fields to look at crops that the crop that has been left in the field in order to bring that in and use that for great things like making sweet potato puree in a much more sustainable manner. So we really covered a lot of ground, and I would wholeheartedly agree, confused at a higher level.
Well, finally, we have a number of thank yous to finish out 2022.
Thanks to all of the amazing people that generously agreed to be interviewed on the podcast. We couldn't have done the season without you, and we enjoyed every conversation.
Thanks to the Food, Bioprocessing, and Nutrition Science Department that has supported our efforts to create and maintain a good podcast, including amazing t-shirts like the one I'm wearing right now.
It really is an amazing t-shirt. The design is spectacular. The voice you hear at the beginning and the end of the podcast is our former co-host, Teresa, who left to go to medical school after season 3. We're happy to report she's doing great and has completed her first semester successfully. Congratulations, Teresa.
Yes, congratulations. So thank you for joining us on this journey into the amazing world of food science. We are at nearly 6,000 downloads, all thanks to you. We would really like to hear from you. So again, please leave us a review or an email at wolfingdownfoodscience@gmail.com. Take care, everyone. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. See you next season.
Bye, Paige.
Bye, Keith.
If you'd like to find out more about our podcast, Wolfing Down Food Science, please check us out at NCSU's Food, Bioprocessing, and Nutrition Science website, where you can find our show notes, reference links, and more. You can find out more about NC State, our department, and FS201, the amazing course that has brought us all together, on our website as well. Please don't forget to subscribe to Wolfing Down Food Science wherever you stream your podcasts like Spotify and iTunes. Thanks for tuning in to Wolfing Down Food Science. See you next time.